Genesis 28 and verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, a ladder. We hear much about the ladder of success. And most people in the world are desperately trying to climb the ladder of success. But we'd like to look this evening at another ladder, a far more important ladder, the ladder of salvation, that will bring us blessings not just in this world, but in the world which is to come. Behold, a ladder. We'd like to look at this under two headings. First of all, heaven shut. And then, secondly, heaven open. First of all, heaven shut. This was Jacob's experience in the early part of this chapter. His experience was of a shut heaven, a heaven that seemed to be totally closed against him. He's in a desperate situation, and he knows that sin has brought him to this place. Like many a person, through sinful choices, sinful actions, he has brought himself into a place of hardship and difficulty. We read in verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba, his hometown, his home place, and went toward Haran. Why? First of all, because he had cheated his brother out of the birthright. I'm sure most of us are familiar with the story, and it's not necessary for us to go into it again. Suffice to say, though Jacob sought what was right, though Jacob valued what was valuable, yet he sought it in the wrong way. He sought it not in the way of faith, but by his own wisdom, by his own schemes. And this involved the cheating of his brother, which provoked his brother into a murderous rage. And he's fleeing his home because of the murderous rage of his brother. And then secondly, he's leaving because he deceived his father. His old father with failing sight, again we know the story, how Jacob deceived him. Jacob fooled him into giving him the blessing. And so here he is leaving behind him a trail of deception and of cheating, of dishonesty. And he's heading here towards Haran. And he lights, we read in verse 11, upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I think we can probably imagine this was a place of great discomfort. This is a place of wilderness. If any of you have ever been to the Holy Land, so-called, or even seen pictures, you'll be familiar with the barrenness of the wilderness. And this was the area that he was in. It was an area of great barrenness and a place of great danger. not the wisest of places perhaps to close one's eyes for a night's sleep, because he would have been surrounded by potentially dangerous wild animals, jackals and so on. But here he is, he has no choice as it were. He has had to leave in such a hurry, ushered on his way by concerned parents, knowing that if he was to stay much longer that he would no doubt suffer at the hands of his brother. And here he takes stones for his pillow and the earth for his mattress. And does this not communicate to us great discomfort? Great coldness, cold pillows, cold stone pillows, cold, stony, barren ground, surrounded by the roars of wild animals and all sorts of dangerous insects and reptiles. And here he is, after having travelled about 3 days, perhaps with hardly a stop, such was his need to put distance between himself and his household, and here he lies down, perhaps in despair. If we could put ourselves in his position, maybe that's how we would feel. And no doubt as that stony pillow dug into his head, as he tried to get comfortable in an impossibly uncomfortable place, surely his mind would have been filled with, what have I got myself into? How did I get myself into this situation? And surely concluding rightly, sin, my sin has brought me to this place. Look at me. Look at me. Here I am, no shelter, no defence, no land, not even a piece of it I can call my own, no children, no future, and no God. Surely heaven is shut against me. Surely I have sinned away any hope of mercy. Surely this very bed, this dusty ground I'm lying in, bespeaks my spiritual condition. This is where I belong, in the dust of the earth, surrounded by dangerous animals. Sin has brought me to this place. Perhaps you've often felt like that yourself. Perhaps you feel like that yourself tonight. You can think back perhaps to a time in your life when things were much better because you were living much better. But through sin, through dishonesty perhaps, through deceit, through cheating, through lying, through betrayal, you've sinned away so many blessings. You've had to turn your back, as it were, on all these blessings, and it was your own choice. And now you look at your life and you see you're in a mess. You're in the dust spiritually. You're in a most spiritually uncomfortable place. You can find no place of rest for your soul. It's as if you're trying to rest your soul on this stony, a barren ground, and trying to rest your head on this rocky pillow, and you cannot get comfortable. And you look at yourself and you look at all that you've lost, all that you could have had and all that you do not have. And are you like Jacob concluding, sin has brought me here? My sin has brought me here. Here I am, with nothing, no spiritual blessings left, all sinned away, no future, no God, heaven shut against me. And not only had sin brought Jacob here, but he was on, it would seem, the road to destruction. He was going toward Haran, we're told here. That was known for its paganism, although there were some few of God's people there, it was generally known for its idolatry. And here, this is where he's heading to. He's heading to a land which was generally godless, a place that was renowned for its idolatry, a place where it would be very difficult for him to find any spiritual kinship, any spiritual help. Here he is going, as it were, as a fugitive into exile, putting distance between himself and his brother. And as he looked forward, surely what was on his mind was, I'm going nowhere of any great benefit. I'm on the road to destruction. I'm going to a place of helplessness and hopelessness. I'm going to a land of lostness. And maybe again this describes you as well. You look back and you see the sin that has caused your present situation. And as you look forward, you can see no hope, no brightness, no light at the end of the tunnel. You feel sure that you too are on the road to destruction. You too are a fugitive. You too are going into maybe eternal exile, cut off from all spiritual blessings, going to the land of hopelessness and helplessness and lostness. You're on the road to destruction. Jacob is such a perfect picture of the lost sinner, maybe of you yourself, a fugitive, fleeing wrath, in the dust, in great discomfort, and no hope ahead. And it can be summarized in this short phrase, heaven shut. Is that how you feel tonight? Heaven shut against you. Heaven's doors closed, as it were, barred before you. You feel that heaven is utterly inaccessible. Heaven is utterly beyond you. You are going in the opposite direction, and there's no hope of you being turned. And this is why it's so wonderful that it's in this situation that God speaks. Into this poor sinner's experience, the God of all grace intervenes. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Behold, a ladder. Matthew Henry described this as perhaps the best night's sleep he ever had. Yes, his bed was poor, but his dreams were blessed. This is a night's sleep he would never forget. Because behold, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. And what begins to open up here for Jacob is heaven that was closed. Heaven closed, now heaven beginning to open. Behold, a ladder. Behold, hope. Behold, a light at the end of the tunnel. A ladder. What does a ladder do? Well, a ladder can reach down to impossible depths. A ladder can reach up to impossible heights beyond our climbing. A ladder can bridge unbridgeable gaps beyond our own stretch. A ladder can bring together and unite two things that were separate. Behold, a ladder. And what is being said here is, behold, salvation. This is the ladder of salvation. How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ himself tells us. In John chapter 1, he's speaking to Nathanael. And he says to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus here is interpreting this dream that he gave to Jacob hundreds of years before. He's saying this ladder that Jacob saw, these angels ascending and descending on, is me. I am this ladder. I am the ladder that opens heaven. I am the ladder which the angels of God ascend and descend upon. And so when we read here, behold a ladder, we are saying, behold the Saviour. Behold Jesus Christ. Behold the ladder to heaven. Behold the one who can reach down to impossible depths. Behold the one who can reach up to impossible heights. Behold the one that can bring together those who were previously impossibly apart. Behold the one that can bridge unbridgeable gaps. Behold the ladder. The ladder of salvation. What do we think of when we think of this ladder? Well, we read here that it was set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. A ladder without a gap. A ladder with no missing rungs. The longest ladder that's ever been built in all the world. The strongest ladder that's ever been built in all the world. Behold a ladder set up on the earth whose top reached up to heaven. Do we not see here in this ladder, in this Saviour, the earthly humanity and the heavenly divinity of Jesus Christ? Here he's saying, I am the mediator. I am the one who is heavenly and earthly. I am the one who is divine and human. I am the one who is contact with heaven and contact with earth. I'm the only one that can span this great gap between God and man. And he's saying, Jacob, I'm the only one that can open heaven for you. I'm the only one that can reach down to your sinful depths and raise you up to the highest heights. I am the only one who can reach you so far away from God, a fugitive, and bring you into the divine family. I am the only one who can take you from these depths and lift you all the way to heavenly glory. Here we have a ladder. The Son of Man. The Son of God. Perhaps we could say each rung of that ladder was every step of his earthly life. Every deed, every word formed that ladder. Not one part of his life, not one word, not one deed could be missing. Any deed, any word missed out would have meant the ladder was useless. It had to go the whole way without a gap. There's a story told about a fire brigade unit in the United States where the division were called to a fire in a very, very high building. And when they got there, they noticed people way, way up high. And they got their longest ladders and put on all the extensions possible and raised it up as high as they possibly could. But it wasn't far enough. It just didn't go far enough. And so one of the firemen made all his way all the way up the ladder, getting closer and closer to the heat. And as he reached the top, he reached out to the people and saw that still it was not near enough. And so, with one movement, he jumped onto the top rung and just managed to grab hold of the windowsill that many were waiting upon. And he told them to run down him and onto the ladder. And he waited there as many made their way over him and down the ladder until the last one was down, until eventually he himself could come down, wounded, burned, blistered, scarred, singed, black, with the suffering he had to endure to save these poor souls beyond human help, as it were. And do we not see here a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ? He didn't just form the last bit of the ladder. He was the one who is the whole ladder. It's not as if we do most of it and then he does the rest. He does the whole thing. And when we see him in his earthly life, we see him there suffering. We see him there going into the fire of the wrath of God. We see him singed. We see him burned, as it were, with the divine wrath on the cross of Calvary. We see him wounded. We see him scarred. Yea, we see him killed. And it looks as if the ladder's been destroyed. But on the third day, the ladder, as it were, rises again and says to all humanity, behold the ladder, the ladder. How deep are you in sin? You're not too deep. This ladder can reach you. How far away are you? Is it what you feel to be an unbridgeable gap? This ladder can bridge the gap. Here is the way to see heaven opened wide, the great ladder of a divine and a perfect salvation. This was the first of seven divine revelations to Jacob. We're not sure if when Jacob was actually converted. There are many views on this. But my own view is that this was the moment of his conversion. But whether it was or not, here is the way of conversion for all of us. Here is the way of salvation for all of us. Behold the ladder. And if you're here tonight and you feel heaven is shut, heaven is closed, heaven is barred, behold the ladder. Look to the ladder. There's no other way into heaven. There's no alternative route. You can scour the whole world and the whole of history, and you'll never find another way, another religion, another name, another person, another scheme that will raise you all the way from the depths of sin to heavenly glory. Oh, many are trying, offered ladders. How many ladders are offered in this world? And how many are trying to climb them with great effort, great energy, great hope? And they're going to find at the last that the ladder comes short, or the ladder has some rungs missing. This is the only one, friends. Behold the ladder, stretching here, we're told, from earth to heaven, and behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. We're told three beholds here. Behold the ladder, behold the angels, and behold the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. And here he begins to speak to Jacob's particular needs. What did Jacob feel particularly? He felt, I have no land, I have no children, I have no future, I have no God. And here God speaks to these very particular needs. He says here, you have no land, the land whereon thou liest, verse 13, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You have no children. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, and the south. You have no future. You have no reason for living. Let me tell you, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here Jacob is being promised that through him, the Messiah himself would come. Through him, the very one he saw illustrated in that ladder would come. Jacob, whose son Judah, the patriarch, became the head of the tribe of Judah, through whom King David came, through whom eventually Christ came. And he's saying, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here is a future, a messianic future. You have no God. Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob's great needs, God's great supply. What are your needs? He can supply them. What is your lack? He can make them up. Whatever they are, he can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We think here of these angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And again, this is communicating to us that no blessing can come to anyone on earth apart from through Jesus Christ. And again, when we think of this ladder, and we think of the angels going up and down on it, we mustn't think of a little 1 foot wide ladder. The word used here is actually the word that's closer to representing a staircase, a wide staircase, upon which many can go up and down. And here we have these angels in continuous activity, going up and down, up to the Lord of these angels at the top, then down to serve those who will be heirs of salvation, ministering to their every needs, controlled by the great commander of the hosts. And here again, Jacob is being told, Jacob, you think you're alone. You think nobody in heaven or earth cares about you. You couldn't be more mistaken. Just when you think heaven is shut, look, it's open and the whole of heaven is busy for your benefit and salvation. There are angels going up and angels going down. There are angels bringing blessings down from heaven. You who think you're forgotten, you who think you're alone, far from it. Hear, Jacob, look at this. Oh, if only you could have your eyes opened, as Jacob's eyes were opened in this dream, and see the care of God, see the compassion of the Lord, see the divine activity, see how busy heaven is bringing salvation and blessings to those who will be heirs of salvation. Just when Jacob thought he was most forgotten and most alone, here he is being told, most remembered and in glorious company. Behold the ladder. What are you going to do with the ladder? Are you just going to hear about it? Are you just going to admire it? Are you just going to speak about it? Or are you going to get on it? Will you not put your foot on the bottom rung tonight? By faith, trust the ladder. Put your whole weight the weight of all your sin, the weight of all your iniquity, that great burden you're carrying, and you think nobody can ever take it away. Put your whole weight in this ladder, and it won't move an inch. It won't bend. It won't buckle. It can support however many sinners want to start putting their feet upon it. Do you know what you actually find? When you put your foot on the rung, the bottom rung, the first step of faith, the burden rolls away. The weight disappears. But you've got to step. You've got to step. Will you do it now? Why not? What have you got to lose? What have you got to gain? Behold the ladder. Get on it. Behold the ladder. Trust in it. Behold the ladder, step on it. Behold the ladder, rely upon it. It takes you all the way from earth to heaven. How did Jacob respond? He says in verse 16, he awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he's not saying there, looking back on the dream, that it was the Lord, but he didn't know it. What it's saying is, the Lord is in this place, and I never ever expected it. This wasn't in my mind at all when I came to this place. This was the very last thing I ever expected to experience here, that the Lord would visit me. And isn't that so often the case? The Lord meets us in the last place we would ever have expected. How many have come to church, never thinking for a moment that they would meet with the Lord and the Lord with them. And they've left saying, "Surely the Lord was there, and I never ever expected it." Maybe you've come here tonight, maybe to please somebody. The last thing on your mind was that you would ever meet with God. Oh, that somebody would say, "Surely, surely, most surely, the Lord is in this place and I've met him. And it's the last thing I ever expected." You see the grace of the Lord? He was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place." And that's not meaning this is an awful place, but this is an awesome place. Dreadful here meaning inducing awe and fear and reverence. And this is simply to echo Psalm 130, where it says, "There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." The person who's forgiven much, fears much, reveres much, and loves much. Here Jacob looks at this desert place and says, "This is the place God met with me. This is the most awesome place in all the world. To have my sins forgiven, to have heaven opened, to be invited up that ladder, to have every obstacle taken out of my way, to see my own salvation in front of me." And when the sinner has been forgiven, so often the sinner feels that way and should feel that way. This is the most awesome experience I've ever had. To have sins swept away, to have heaven opened, to meet with the Lord and live. Is there anything more awesome than that? And he says, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Could that be true of you here tonight? That maybe you might look back in this place and this time and say, that was the gate of heaven. That was when heaven opened. That was when the gates lifted up their heads. And I was told to enter in, and I did. No wonder we read he rose up early in the morning and took the stone he had put for his pillows, set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it, consecrating it, saying, in essence, this is the most holy and sacred place in all the world to me. A stone. A dusty, up until that point, forgotten, unnoticed stone. And Jacob sets it aside and he looks at it. He pours oil over it. How he loves it, because there, where his head was lain, God gave him a dream. And God gave him salvation. How consecrated. How holy, how precious that place was. Is there any place more precious in all the world than the place we are finally saved? Any square foot more consecrated and holy? Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you can't point to it exactly, but the Lord knows it. And isn't it interesting? We read, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Luz means separation. Bethel means the house of God. And here Jacob is saying, I came here in a state of separation, and now I know communion. I came here friendless, and I leave here with the greatest friend a man or woman can have. I came here godless and I leave with God. I came here separated from Him. I leave here walking with Him. This is where I've met with God. And there are so many places in Israel and Judah which speak of Christ. Bethel, the house of God. And we think of the Lord in His providence having these places named, so that as people walk from one place to another, they may even think about what these places meant and how they pointed to Christ. Think of Bethlehem, the house of bread. Think of Bethesda, the house of outpouring. Think of Jerusalem, the house or the place of peace. Think of Nazareth, the watchtower. Think of Shiloh, rest. Think of Carmel, fruitful place. And as people moved around that holy land, so called, and as Christ Himself moved around, He saw everything pointing towards Himself. He is the house of God. He is Bethel. He is Bethlehem, the house of bread. He is Bethesda, the place of divine outpouring. He is Nazareth, the watchtower. He is Carmel, the fruitful place. He is Shiloh, rest. He is Jerusalem, the place of peace. Read the geography, study the map, and even these things can be blessed to our souls. He vows a vow. He dedicates himself to the Lord. Behold the ladder. Can you see the ladder? What are you going to do with the ladder? Maybe you've come here and you've been climbing the ladder of success. And maybe you're very near the top of it even. you're discovering it's not going to take me to heaven. It's not going to bring blessings to my soul. Oh yes, its bottom is on earth, but so is its top. Its top is earthly glory, not heavenly. Won't you jump off the ladder? Won't you make your way down it as fast as you can and get on another ladder, the ladder of salvation? Behold, look, the ladder. Let us pray. O Lord, we greatly deserve a shut heaven. We greatly deserve a totally earthbound existence. We totally deserve a godless existence. But thanks be to thy holy and great name, behold a ladder that brings earth to heaven and heaven to earth, that opens heaven's gates. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see it by faith tonight. May young feet get on it. May old feet get on it. O grant the step of faith by thine own mighty grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.